chapter 9. Actually going to read the whole chapter. It's only 13 verses. We should be all right. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" There was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may shew the kindness of God unto him?" And David said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto him, said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker and son of Ammiel and from Lodabar. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan and thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, that thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. What a tremendous story. The situation here is Saul is gone, Jonathan is gone. David and Jonathan were best of friends, although they didn't spend a lot of time together as we read through the scriptures, but they were very much of kindred spirits. The Lord put this relationship, and one helped the other, and they just loved each other. But Jonathan is dead, and Saul is dead, and now King David has taken over and been appointed king, and he sits on the throne, and he is both king over Judah and Israel at this point. And David's sitting there one day, I don't know what brought his thoughts about it, but you have a favorite chair, maybe some of your best thinking's like mine in the shower where no one's bothering you, right? You're standing there, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, yes, I remember I said this, and I need to go back on that. Maybe David was standing there, and he was just looking out over, maybe drinking some of that cool Bethlehem water that he so enjoys. He's sitting there, and he thought, oh, wait, I made a promise. I made a promise to a good friend of mine. Maybe it was just reminiscing about some times that him and Jonathan spent together. Conversations, and maybe he got a little sorrowful in his heart that Jonathan wasn't there that day. And then he remembered the promise. So he calls for anybody that is any way associated with King Saul. There's not many left. And Ziba comes and he says, "Are you a servant? Were you a servant in Saul's house?" And he says, "Yes." He says, "Is anybody of Jonathan's house still alive?" And he says, "Yes, he actually has a son left. His name's Mephibosheth, and he actually lives over here in Lodabar, and he's actually lame on his feet." Well, what did that mean? It means he couldn't walk around on his own. There weren't a lot of desk jobs back then. Weren't a lot of computer programming, internet jobs. It was hard labor. You see, David setting him up, and what does he do? He gives him servants and says, "Hey, here's your land, till the land, and bring it in and feed everybody." That was the work. You're either military or you worked with your hands, but the lame man couldn't do much, so he sat around, and we don't see him complaining at all, but he was lame. David calls him into his house, and he says, You're no longer ever going to be without. He sets up Ziba and his servants, but he does something special with Mephibosheth. He says, "Son, you're going to actually sit at my table. You're going to be at the king's table. You're going to eat what kings eat." Could you imagine the shock of that to Mephibosheth? He's just sitting there minding his own business, sitting at the table, right, at his house. Maybe playing solitaire. I don't know what he was doing. Doesn't say. He wasn't doing much, right? Legos or something. He's sitting there because he's lame. Maybe he's sitting on the front porch just watching people walk by. I don't know. It doesn't say. But he was just sitting there. And all of a sudden, someone from the king's court says, "The king David wants to see you." And he thinks, "Oh, this isn't good. I am the grandson of the enemy of David." And he brings him, and what does he do? The first thing Mephibosheth does in front of David is he falls right to the ground and shows him reverence. If you're a lame man, there's one place you don't want to be, laying on the ground. You're incredibly vulnerable and incredibly susceptible to injury. You can't get yourself up. And there he is. He's laying on the ground and he's showing reverence to David. And he says, "Are you Mephibosheth?" And he said, "Behold thy servant." We see something of the approach of this household of Ziba and Mephibosheth. Both of them, when brought to David, wasn't like, "Do you come in peace? Do I need to draw my sword? Do I need to defend myself?" They immediately dropped down before King David. And then Mephibosheth finds himself from that day forward. Now, if you continue reading the story, it gets a little tricky, but he gets sent back. But for pretty much that day forward, he's sitting eating what kings eat. I don't know what kings eat. Never sat at a king's table before. Never been around a king. Brother Bauman works in some incredible houses and works for some incredible wealthy people. I bet they don't cut coupons. I'm just saying. Maybe they buy zucchini at the corner store too, but I don't know. Maybe they have personal chefs. I don't know how they roll. But I'm thinking their refrigerator maybe looks a little bit different than ours. I don't know if they do leftovers on Ambassador Drive. I don't know how they roll over there. But all of a sudden, a young man that was sitting there with nothing going on is seated at the table of a king. You know, I really had nothing going on. I was lame because of my sin. And then Jesus Christ came out and looked for me. And he took me out of my circumstance. And all of a sudden I'm sitting with kings. Amen. Eating the king's meat and sitting amongst the highest of highs. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. to some kid from Irondequoit whose parents got divorced when he was young and didn't know what was going on, and all of a sudden, is this prosperity gospel? You get saved and you're going to get rich? No. I just know that every single day I get to sit with a king. And that's what happened to Mephibosheth. He was just sitting there doing what he always did, and all of a sudden there was a knock at his door, and before the day was over, he's eating the best that the land could produce. And you know what? We're the same way. I was just sitting there one day, maybe someone knocked at your door, and all of a sudden, before long, a couple hours later, you are now in the presence of the king. And you get to enjoy that every single day. I try and be courteous and polite to the people that we work with here at school, right? If you're going to want to work with people, you want to be nice to them, right? That goes a long way. No one likes working with a grouch. Right, Mr. Sutliff? Right? Okay, good. Mr. Sutliff works at the town. Sometimes town workers get a little grouchy. Right? Okay, good. So we try and be polite. Can you imagine every single day sitting at the table? There you are at breakfast. Hey, and then, good morning, David. Good morning, King David. What are we having today for breakfast? Well, oh, man. And I get excited. I'm a food guy. I get excited about food. Oh, today we got Eggs Benedict. Oh, man. All right, thank you. And day after day that went. I wonder if that ever got old. I wonder if he ever got sitting off to the side. And I wonder, maybe that first day he came in and all of a sudden that roast beef meal comes through and he's eating that and he's like, this is amazing. Next morning, thank you so much for last night. That meal was amazing. I can't believe, oh no, we get to do it again. I can't believe this. But after the first week, I wonder if he stopped saying hello. We have no record of it. But I wonder if he's anything like everybody else. You know, there was a day when we were super excited about what we got. All of a sudden, we're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we couldn't stop saying enough about it. But I wonder if it ever got old to us. You know, you still sit at the table of the King. And that meal is still spread out. But do you appreciate it today? I wonder if the guy on Ambassador Drive, when he, I don't know, which garage do I want to park in today? And which button do I? Which car do I want to take today? I wonder if he ever gets in and just tosses his keys on the counter and is no longer wowed by it. I'm going to say chances are pretty good that it is. Because if I can get complacent concerning my salvation, that's dangerous. So how do we prevent that? How do we not get over our salvation? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Number one, we have 3 points. You say, you see what time it is? I do. And they'll be quick. Number one, we're thankful. We need to be thankful. How do you not get over what God has done for you? You thank Him. Look at Psalm 103. Much like Mephibosheth, I was sitting there lame. I couldn't do it on my own. I needed Christ. And He came out and He looked for me. Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And what does it say? And forget not all His benefits. Hey, let's be thankful for those things. Let's show a little appreciation for those things. I remember when I learned about John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, it tells me that Jesus Christ Himself is going to heaven to prepare a place for me, and He calls it a mansion. And I, like, as a young boy, I just couldn't couldn't stop thinking about that. How awesome that was. And I remember it wasn't too long after I got saved that hearing about that, and I remember thanking God for my mansion. Don't have a lot of memories as a kid, but I remember that. When was the last time you thanked God for all His benefits? The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to be thankful in all things. Why do we thank people? Why do we have our kids write thank yous to people? To recognize and show appreciation. I wonder if David came walking in, Mephibosheth is sitting here first week, and he tries to stand up, but it's tough as a lame man to reverence the king. Tries to stand up, and he just simply acknowledges and tries to lift them up. Thank you, King David. I wonder if that happened time and time again, and the one time he walks by and he doesn't hear anything. Does he stop and then just keep going? When was the last time you thanked God for what He's done for you? It'll help you appreciate it. So many times we see what we don't have because we fail to mention the things that we do. I wish this house was bigger. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I could take you to a place tonight. I could take you somewhere tonight, 10 minutes away. No matter what your living condition is, you'll be thankful to go home to it. Oh, this old, crickety old door. I wish it was... Man, I could show you where some people live. And we fail to recognize what it is that God has done for us. And we don't appreciate it. But He just keeps doing it. How do we not get over it? Well, number one, we're thankful. Look at Psalm 136. In verse 26. It says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven." Let's remember that. "Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever." I don't ever want to get over what the Lord has done for me. I'm sitting at the table with the King. Thank you. Because I don't belong here. Mephibosheth didn't belong there. Number two. How to not get over what you have. I want you to follow me here. You share. If you know me, I like food. Say obvious. I know. I'm working on it. But I like to enjoy food with people. I like to make things that people enjoy. It makes it even better. One way to not get over what it is that you have is to share it with somebody else. To invite somebody else. There's a lot of things we have in our life. Isaiah chapter 58. Could I encourage you to share tonight? Isaiah 58 verse 7. "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." He says, how are you taking care of that? How are you sharing what I have given? And this is how it goes. And we see this in our children maybe. A child gets a gift and then is unwilling to share it. No, this is mine. You understand that you will quickly get over that thing then. Because you will become bitter and selfish. and possessive and somehow think that you earn that gift. God has certainly been very kind and gracious to us, as we read there that His mercy is incredible. You say, well, I'm glad I got that. I'm glad I'm sitting at the table with the King. Are you sharing that? Are you handing that out? Not just with things, but how about Galatians chapter 6? Galatians 6:6 says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. How about the things that you've learned? How about the things that God has taught you over your life? How about the simple doctrine of salvation? Do you communicate that with somebody? Mephibosheth found himself sitting at the table of the king. Imagine if he was there alone. I'm going to admit it. I'm a social drinker. Say, what are you talking about? I don't like to have coffee by myself. That's no fun. Sarah will ask me, she says, can I make you a cup of coffee? And I'll say, my next question is, are you going to have some? No. Then no, I don't want any. We'll be sitting around the table, we'll have people over. She'll say, who wants coffee? We all kind of look at each other, right? If you say yes, I'll say yes. Because it's enjoyable with somebody else. Hey, you want to keep that gift back for yourself? You're going to end up becoming bitter and possessive. And that you are somehow entitled to the gift and somebody else isn't. Oh no. King David came to me. Jesus Christ came to me. I'm sorry. You're just not going to get in. No. How to not get over what the Lord has done for us. Number one, we're thankful. Number two, we share. We share. I have other verses, but I think you get the point. Number three, Titus chapter 3. From what I've read in Scripture, usually when you're in the presence of the king, you're gonna want to change your appearance. You're going to want to be clean. Whenever they prepared somebody to bring them in front of... remember when they pulled Joseph out of prison in front of Pharaoh? What'd they do? They cleaned him all up, right? You're going to see Pharaoh. You can't make it look like you were just in prison. So there's Mephibosheth, just living in a normal life in normal clothes and maybe a poorer life. He's got no way to earn anything and he's sitting by himself. And all of a sudden he finds himself sitting at the king's table eating the king's food, dressed in the king's clothes now. Clothes that are good enough to be around the king. I wonder if he ever forgot about Lodabar. I wonder if he forgot about the sitting at the table alone or sitting at the porch by himself. I wonder if he forgot. The third point of how to not get over what the Lord has done for you is to remember where you came from. You don't live in the past, but it is okay to look back every now and then. As a reference point. You know, sometimes we get pretty down on ourselves. I'm just failing the Lord. I've been unfaithful to the Lord. And, you know, He's told me these things. And I'm just not where I want to be. And I understand that. And I get that. I wish I was here. But I'm not. I'm here. But you're not here. anymore. Because this is where he found you. And I understand you're not where you think you should project it to be, but you're certainly not back where you used to be. How about it, Mr. Wilson? You're no longer where he found you. He didn't live in Lodabar anymore. I wonder if every now and then, though, he called up Ziba and said, "Hey, Ziba, get the chariot ready." I say, "Why? Where are we going?" "Going back to Lodabar. Just want to go see the old house again. I want to go see the old field." And Titus chapter 3 and verse 2, "To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Man, I'm just not what I... Yeah, but you're not what you used to be. But after that, look at verse 4. "But after that..." Turn the page, right? "After that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." You know what that is? That's the story of Mephibosheth. I was lame. I was a mess. I was disobedient. I was foolish. I was caught up in my own lust. I was hateful. I actually hated people. But after that, oh, the Lord came by and changed my life. And now I'm sitting at the table of the King. But every now and then, it's good to look back. It's good to look back. Again, we don't dwell there. We don't dwell in the past because there's really nothing we can do about the past. And it's simply to remind us God's been good. God has been good to me. Because I don't want to get over sitting at the King's table. Because it's awesome. There's no better place. There's no safer place. Let's make sure that we're thankful. Let's make sure that we share. Let's make sure that we remember. Otherwise, we'll forget. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Appreciate you being here tonight.